The origin of the word Lent comes from an old Saxon word that is a word of Germanic background that means to lengthen. That's what the word Lent means, to lengthen. And of course, Lent is associated with this time of the year where indeed the days are getting longer and longer and longer, so that a week from Sunday, although we're going to be a little bit more tired, we're going to be happy because it will not get dark until around 7 o'clock. And because of the part of the world that we live in, that we have this longing for daylight, that night is hard and the coming of the day inspires us. Well, Lent is a time of the year where, as we think about the lengthening of the daylight hours, we also think about the renewal of the earth. That yes, indeed, we will see flowers again. And although it can be hard for us northerners to imagine, the balmy days of summer will come. But I know, because I've lived in Calgary for 30 years, that we might have a lot of winter still before us. But that does not take away from the invitation that this season brings to us. This is a time of our Lenten renewal. And although, as I've just said, that the word Lent means originally to lengthen, I want to kind of use it as a play on words. For you see, the other way we need to think about Lent is in this way, that each one of us has been given the gift of life. To you and to me, to us, our lives have been lent to us. They are the gift that God gives. And so in a couple of minutes, we are going to have ashes imposed on our foreheads. And there are two different formulas that can be used as the ashes are imposed. The first one, which is the one we will use today, are these words: you are dust, and to dust you will return. You are dust, and to dust you will return. This is indeed a sober reminder to each of us that we have been lent our lives. Now, depending on our age, we're somewhere along this trajectory. Say if you're a child, it's as if you've kind of just come in the door and you're just at the beginning of the aisle down towards the altar. Say if you're a teenager, well, you're a little bit closer down. And if you're getting to be my age, well, you're not quite up here at the altar, but we're getting pretty close. But here's the point that Lent wants to remind us of. Ash Wednesday says, you are dust, and to dust you will return. Now that could be a little bit sobering and upsetting, maybe a little morbid even. But here are the other words that can be used as the ashes are imposed, words we're not using today. But the other thing that can be said is repent and believe in the gospel. And that's the other side of understanding that our lives have been lent to us. That when that happens, it leads to what's called metanoia. Metanoia is the Greek word for repent. And as I've mentioned before, meta means to change, noia means mind. So repentance means to have a change of mind. It's kind of like the word metamorphosis. Morphe, form, meta, to change form. And so Lent is about this season where, as we repent, to have a change of mind, to believe in the gospel, to believe in the message of Jesus Christ, remarkably, it can also lead to a metamorphosis, a change in form, that we are becoming a new kind of people. But as you well know, and as I know too, life in this world can leave us spiritually feeling kind of like frozen February soil, lifeless and rock solid. And that's why the church says, not just once, not just twice, but every year we're alive. We need this season of Lent. Because in a world like this, where we can become so hardened, where we can become so cold, where we can become so lifeless, you and I need the life that only the church can give us. You and I need the life that only Jesus Christ can give us. Because we're anticipating that although this thermometer might still be sub-zero on Easter Sunday, let's hope not, you and I can go through a spiritual renewal, so that we can hear the texts that are appointed for this Ash Wednesday in a new way. Remember again these words from Joel. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God. And so one of the things that's fundamental to Lent is we have all of these corporate liturgies that we don't have at any other time of the year. But at Lent, as that passage from Joel goes on to say, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, you're here today. Gather the children, you're here today. Bring the infants at the breast, maybe some of you are here today. The point being that this time of the year is a time of corporate prayer, a time where together we celebrate the steadfast love of God, who inspires us to live as a people desiring to be renewed. And we cannot do this on our own. If you try to live Lent on your own, you will fail. But if you learn to live Lent within the community of St. Peter's, if you take to heart the opportunities that this season invites you to consider and to practice, you will be able to go through these next 6 weeks singing with David this prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do you see what these readings speak about? This is not some sort of formality. This isn't some sort of outward show. This is about the heart. This is about your heart. This is about my heart. This is about the corporate heart of St. Peter's. This is about us becoming a people who increasingly understand that in a world like this, what matters more than anything else is for you to know that your life is on loan, and for me to know that my life is on loan. And one day, you're going to have to give your life back to Jesus Christ. That's the heart of this season. And so the beautiful thing, and with this I conclude, Lent is also an invitation to cultivate a life of piety. And as I was reflecting upon the three disciplines, as they're traditionally called, of Lent, it struck me that of these three disciplines, prayer is mentioned as the middle of the three. Now, here's the other thing that's interesting. This section comes in chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you were to read the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Jesus' teaching on prayer comes right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. I find that fascinating. That not only is prayer at the center of the sermon, it's at the center of the three acts of piety. And so I said to myself, so Jonathan, why is that? And I said, Holy Spirit, why is that? And this is the answer I got. Now, you know where priests get dressed over there in our vestry. I would like to suggest to you that prayer is like the hinge and the door. Before a priest comes out into the church to celebrate Mass, there are a series of prayers that a priest prays as he vests. May I suggest to you, this is like the interior life of fasting, of ascetic discipline, that I don't just sort of throw on my clothes any old way. No, there's a series of prayers I pray with each vestment I put on. And as we learn to practice the disciplines of asceticism, of self-denial, why do we do this? It's not so that we can say, okay, I've made 38 days without chocolate. Woo! Although that might be good to make it 38 days without chocolate. No, that's not the point. The point is about your heart. The point is about my heart. And of all the disciplines, the one I find hardest are the ascetic disciplines. I suck at this. Because I love snacking. But what I want to grow in is to be able to say, yes, I'm willing to deny myself of things I really love, Because I want my interior life, I want my heart to expand to love God more. And the fact of the matter is, if we allow ourselves to be pampered by all the yummies that we like, our heart will not expand. Because it's those yummies that satisfy us and not God. But as we understand the gift of this ascetic discipline, that's kind of like me being in the vestry. And as we then cultivate a life of deepening prayer through the rosary, through coming to Eucharistic adoration, maybe coming to Mass more often during Lent, taking up particular prayer practices, then as we open the door of prayer and come out into the public place, we are then able to give alms. And alms are expressions of generous love and mercy. This is not rocket science, because it's from God and is meant for every one of us. Because you see, prayer deepens our relationship with Him, the vertical dimension of the cross, the ascetic disciplines of fasting deepen our interior relationship with ourself. And almsgiving expresses our relations with one another. The vertical, where the vertical and the horizontal meet, the interior and the horizontal, how we relate to one another. I invite each one of you to take to heart these next 6 weeks. Do not allow social media. Do not allow that chocolate cake. Do not allow those things that you think, I just need these, to take you away from the importance of these next weeks. This is serious business, because your life is serious, and so is mine, and so is the life of this congregation. You have been lent a gift. I have been lent a gift. And the season of Lent says to each of us, you are dust, and to dust you will return.